On this Saturday morning, another edition of our Smart Garden Show, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. It's so wonderful to be with you.
Well, you as well. It's always fun, and it's, as you know, it's already getting busy with the questions. not surprising during the growing season. Just a reminder to our new listeners, as you know, Teresa, we do this show 52 weeks a year. It could be 10 below zero. We're still going to talk about gardening, lawns and gardens.
We sure are, because that's the way we roll in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get busy real fast. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. Looking at my lawns, as we're waiting for more questions to come in, this is kind of the dormant time of the year for the lawn. It used to be nice and green and with all the rain we had, but now it's looking kind of brown.
Yep, and that's totally normal. That's what our lawns normally do. We have cool season grasses for the most part in our lawn. That means they're like me. They like it when it's a little cooler. They don't like this hot weather. So what they do is they just kind of shut down for a little while, and they just sit there, and they're waiting out the heat and the droughts of summer. So it's wonderful if you can mow your grasses a little bit higher. That shades the roots, because the roots can actually die if the soil gets 85 degrees or warmer. So you want those leaves of those grasses to shade the roots and keep the soil a little cooler and a little moister, and they'll just sit there. And then once we hit the end of August into September, and we get some more rains, well, we're going to get rain this week, tomorrow hopefully, they'll start growing again. So it's nothing to worry about. So you don't want to be feeding them. You don't need to be doing anything else weird, like any weird cultivation out there. Probably not planting seeds. It's just too hot for the grass seed. And just kind of wait it out. So instead, go sit in your hammock, drink a nice tea or your adult beverage of choice, listen to the Olympics or watch them on your computers. Just enjoy summer, because this is Minnesota. Enjoy summer, people.
Yeah, it's hot, as will be today. 74 now, we're going for 90. We'll have a look at that forecast, as we always do, at the bottom of the hour. A listener says this, though, via text, Teresa. They planted jalapeno peppers for the first time. The peppers are about 6 inches long. How do you know when to pick them, and can they be left on the plant too long?
Actually, well, they could technically be left on the plant too long. They will start to turn red when they get more ripe. Usually we pick them when they're green. You can pick them whenever you want to, and I would probably start harvesting some of them. As with most of our plants, when you harvest the fruit, before it gets too super ripe, the plant says, oh, I better make some more. So then it produces more fruit. So you'll get more flowers and more fruit. Now, when it's really hot like this, don't be worried if your plants aren't, like your tomatoes and your peppers, aren't getting more flowers. It's just hot for them too, so they're kind of just sitting there for a little while. But go ahead and harvest them. Use them as you like. Sometimes they get a little hotter when the plant gets a little stressed. They get hotter and spicier. So it's just go ahead and harvest them when they're the size you want to use.
All right. Here's a plug for the Minnesota Water Garden Society Pond and Garden Shows today and tomorrow, Teresa. 9 to 5. If you want to check it out, mwgs.org.
Yes, I've been on that tour one time, and when I was much younger, and the water gardens were amazing. So if you like water gardens or water features, or want to learn about them and the plants in them and how to set them up and fish to put in them and how to take care of them in winter, oh, the Water Garden Society knows it. So go on this tour, get some ideas for your own yard, because when you bring water in, you're bringing in motion and noise, and you'll bring in more birds, and you'll see all kinds of insects, and it's just amazing what else you can bring into your yard. And just the sound of water is so refreshing, in my opinion.
Today and tomorrow, 9 to 5. This texter says, help! My tomato plants are wilting. They look like they need water, but they don't. What's happening, and how do I fix it?
What could be happening is sometimes the tomato plants get a little too hot and the leaves just kind of bend down. It could just be that they're just dealing with the heat. I would see, you know, do they look like they're still growing? Are the flowers still there? Have the flowers been aborted? I would also make sure that the stem hasn't been damaged at the bottom for some reason, if you were digging around or something like that. And if it's too wet, if you can do anything to alleviate it, because you don't want your tomatoes aren't normally grown hydroponically, so you want to grow them in soil. I'm sure my friend Larry could tell me how to grow tomatoes hydroponically. But for the most part, if those plants are in the soil can't be soaking wet. It can't be like a bog. So it could be that they're too wet, and you may want to maybe pull back some mulch and let that soil dry out just a little bit, if that's what you're running into, if you have a heavy soil. But I would first of all look and just see how the plants are looking other than that. Some tomatoes will also curl. The leaves will actually start to curl because of the heat, and they will never uncurl again. The plants will be okay, but the leaves just curl. It's called tomato leaf curl, and it just is a physiological thing from a hot sun or really hot temperatures.
Very good. Texter says this, Teresa: I planted 5 Killarney raspberry bushes last year and cut off flowers for the first year. This year I have no flowers. Soil test pH was 7.6, so added sulfur when planted, and a little this year. I've watered with the Miracle-Gro 3 times this year. Bushes are large and very healthy. Why no flowers and berries?
It could just be that's what...
This year, bushes are large and very healthy. Why no flowers and berries?
It could just be that's what the plant is going to do. I'm not sure if that one blooms toward the end of summer or if that's a spring raspberry. I don't know that variety specifically, but I would back off on the fertilizing. If your plants are big and healthy, they're fine. Sometimes when we over-fertilize plants, they can grow so many leaves, and they're so lush that they don't produce many flowers. So I probably wouldn't fertilize anymore. Sounds like the plants are getting well. Could just be that they're just getting situated, and next year you'll see a good crop. They need to get big enough in their root system to actually be able to produce flowers too. So I would say be patient.
All right. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Gailey is calling in from Hammond this morning. Gailey, good morning. You're on with the Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. We have 3 apple trees that we planted within 20 feet of each other. All 3 of them are established. 2 of them are huge, beautiful fruits. The third one we've had for about 4 years. It was the first year it had bright green leaves, a lot of fruit, and over the last couple of years, it has had very few fruit, and it's yellow and green, kind of shriveled up leaves, late to leave out in the spring. Just wondering if that should be, there's a disease in it and we should be cutting it out, cutting it down and putting something else in there, or if there's something that we can do.
Gailey, thanks for your question. Apple trees, it depends on what variety it is. So we're seeing a lot of apple scab this year due to the really wet spring that we have, and we haven't seen that for a number of years because of the drought. So that could be part of the leaves that are yellow. The fact that the tree is not thriving, I would look, there's not going to be a disease, so to speak, that's going to cause that. It's more like a situational kind of thing, or it was just a weak tree going in. I would double check, are the roots getting enough water or too much water? Is it getting the same amount of sun as the others? Is it hopefully a different variety? Hopefully you've got different varieties there so they can cross-pollinate. Then I would just look at the general health of the tree. It's up to you if you want to cut it down. You could also have a certified arborist look at it on site, and they might see something that I'm not seeing. As long as the tree is still leafing out, it's probably, hopefully, working through whatever the situation is. But it sounds like more of a sight issue than an actual disease for failing to thrive. It doesn't sound like it have fire blight or anything like that, which can take out a tree in a week or so. Probably a certified arborist, or just say, hey, I'm going to cut my losses here. I'm going to go get another apple tree, or I'm happy with the two that I have because they're cross-pollinating just fine. And maybe I'm going to put a cherry tree in this spot instead and see how that works. Those would be my suggestions, and good luck, Gailey.
All right, very good. Teresa, we need to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in either by text or phone call. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as we head to 90 degrees and a breezy day, CCO temperature reading 74. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. I know, Teresa, we're going to grab some phone calls and text messages, but you wanted to give a thanks before we do that.
I did. We had our Hennepin County Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour on July 13th, and I am thanking all of the people who came out to support us, and I'm thanking all the WCCO listeners who stopped by the garden I was at and talked to me and said they listened to the program and they love the program, and I'm just so thankful that you all were there. It was nice meeting all of you, and it was a great success for our group, and we really appreciate everybody who supported us. So thank you.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. All right, let's see. Who is next? Tom is calling in this morning, I believe, from Lake Elmo. Hi, Tom. What's your question for Teresa?
Okay, we are fortunate. We have about 20 large mature oak trees in our yard. Unfortunately, they're driving my wife crazy because they drop so many acorns. The acorns are okay, but then what ends up is little oak trees start growing. And her question is, can she just pull up the part that comes up above the ground, or does she need to dig out the roots of every little oak tree that gets started?
Tom, that's an excellent question, and I'm jealous of the richness of your environment there. Congratulations on those oaks. So what you can do is you can actually just snip those off at ground level, or just pull up what you've got, what you see. The bigger, the more established they are, the bigger the root system, so they could come back if they're really much bigger. But if they're just teeny tiny seedlings, you can easily pull them up from the mulch, or you can even just snip them off at ground level if you want to get out there with your pruners for half an hour and go snip, snip, snip. That will take care of most of them. You would be amazed if you have trees and a lawn. If you didn't mow your lawn, within a few years, you would have a forest. As you mow your lawn, you're actually cutting a lot of tree seedlings out there that you don't even realize you're cutting. So that way, that in respect is what your wife could do. She could either just snip them off, run over them with the lawnmower, or she can just pull them. So she doesn't have to dig them out.
All right, good. Texter says this, Teresa, our purple coneflowers have green high tops on them and are not producing much for petals. Any clue what's going on and what to do about it?
Yes, I would go to the extension site that we haven't mentioned yet, extension.umn.edu. And what you're looking at probably is aster yellows. And that is a disease that gets into the plants. It's moved from one plant to another by little leaf hoppers. They get their feet with the infection on their feet because they were on another plant that had the infection. Then they jump on your plant, and now your plant's infected. There's nothing you can do to treat it. You need to dig up the plant and remove it, and then put it in a plastic bag and throw it in the trash or burn it. You do not send it to the city compost. You do not compost it yourself. I don't believe the disease can be killed with even the high heat compost, so you need to just destroy the plants. You want to get that out of there because it will continue to spread throughout other plants, and there are a number of plants and weeds, weeds are plants, that can be infected by aster yellows, and so you want to get it out of there as quickly as possible. But Google aster yellows, and that's probably what you're seeing there, and I'm sorry for that.
All right. Texter says this, Teresa, my Russian sage on the east side of the garage is very floppy. Can I cut it back and will it rebloom?
It may not rebloom much for you this year. You can cut it back. With all of the water that we've gotten this year, the plants are just kind of a little, think of them as getting too fat. They're not healthy, skinny, little strong little marathon runners there. They're more like couch potatoes like me. So what you want to do is make sure you're not feeding them. They like full light. That could be part of the reason for the floppiness and all the extra water. And or if you have a really rich soil and you're fertilizing, that can impact it too. So you can cut them back. I would probably, though, just perhaps get 4 or 5 bamboo stakes, put them around it, and then just do like a spider web of string between those stakes so that kind of can hold up the plant a little bit, give it some support, maybe 2 feet off of the ground or 2.5 feet off of the ground. If you cut it back, it may not flower that much this year for you.
Okay. We're going to break for weather in a moment, but I want to pass along this text. My cucumbers, texter says, never really did anything this year. Is it too wet? And can I replant now?
You could try replanting your cucumbers if they've gone and the plants have totally gone by. They could have gotten a little too wet, and we haven't had a lot of bright sun either. That kind of can impact the cucs also. But I would plant them sooner rather than later, and then just watch them when we get those cold days in the fall because they are more susceptible. They're very susceptible to frosts.
Okay, very good. Let us take this break for that hot forecast, and we have more show to come, more Smart Garden. So stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions. Teresa, you just told me that you will be joining us again next Saturday morning, right?
I will be. Two
good
Saturdays in a row. I'm
we
so
like
lucky.
That. Excellent. If you want to call in or text in, either way, your lawn and garden question this morning for Teresa, here's the number, 651-461-9226. After we hear from Tom and Spicer, let's talk a little bit about the Arboretum, but let's grab a phone call. Tom is calling in from Spicer, where it's nicer. Hi, Tom. What's your question, please?
Hi. Yes, I have a metal fencing surrounding my swimming pool, and it's needing to be painted. The problem I'm running into is I have grapevine on a good portion of the fence, and it produces grapes every year that I make grape juice and jams and stuff out of that. I'm wondering, how can I cut that down or back, or what do I need to do so I can paint the fence underneath it?
Tom, that's a good question, and I'm jealous. I would look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. I think the best time for the heavy pruning on grapes, which would probably be the easiest thing for you to do, would be in the springtime. So maybe that's something you can put off till early spring next year. So double check when to prune your grapes. I believe it is the springtime, however, and that will cut them way back. You may see a little less production next year, but they should rebound quite quickly for you. Good luck with that.
I tell you what, let's grab another phone call, and then we'll talk about the Arboretum. I think George is on the horn. They're calling in from St. Cloud this morning. Hi, George. What is your question, please?
Say, my brother lives in St. Cloud, and his lilacs seem like their leaves are drying up. He's got lilacs along the road. The side by the road looks green, but the side by the lawn, the leaves are drying up. And also, we have a guy in the cities, his lilac leaves are all drying up also. Is there a problem with lilacs this year?
I'm just looking at a text, George and Teresa. The next text is about that same thing.
So we're seeing a lot of this year again. It's a bacterial lilac disease, And it's just causing the lilac leaves to get black and then fall off. The Extension website, extension.umn.edu, has some good information on it. It probably will not kill your lilacs. They will look really awful, though. It's because of our wet weather. So what you want to do is just do a really good cleanup. Whenever you get those leaves on the ground, rake them up, send them to the city compost. If you have a hot compost, you can put them in that. Otherwise, you can just destroy the leaves, burn them in a fire or something. The plants will probably recover. There's not a lot more you can do. Some websites in other states talk about cutting plants back, but I don't believe the Extension website suggests that. As long as the plant is not dead, it should recover towards the end of this year and next year. Just make sure you're not over fertilizing the plant. You're not doing heavy pruning on the plant. You want to kind of baby that plant. It's sick right now. So it's that foliar disease. Good luck with that. It's a leaf disease.
Teresa, we always like to mention the Arboretum, and it's such a great resource, a fun place to visit. What's going on? Everything as usual, I suppose.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. First of all, the Arboretum will be closed early on the 31st, I believe, so double-check before you go out there. But you have to check anyway because you have to purchase your tickets up to 1 month in advance, and so you do have to do that. But there's lilies and daylilies blooming now. The hydrangeas are beautiful. Actually, if you're looking into hydrangeas, the Arboretum actually has a test garden for hydrangeas. They planted hydrangeas, gave them a good drink of water, and then walked away and said, "You're on your own now, baby." And so it gives them a really good test how strong they are, how they survive our Minnesota weather without a lot of extra care. And you can see them in their full glory and choose your hydrangeas that you're looking for. The phlox are beautiful. There's, of course, a great sculptures at the garden to look at. There's Glencoe ceramics are out there, so you can look at ceramics. I personally have a soft spot for ceramics. There's all kinds of classes. And today there's even a potato dig out at the farm at the Arb. So there's all kinds of things going on. There's the bee area. So there's just so much to see at the Arboretum. Go to their website, get your tickets, go out there and visit. Bring your friends that are visiting. They'll want to move to Minnesota so they can go to the Arboretum more often. It's just a gem for us, and it's just amazing what's going on out there. You can look at trees in the middle of summer and see how big they get, what they look like full grown. You can get ideas for landscaping. You can even just go out there and just connect with nature, walk the different trails, drive 3 mile drive, go sit out in the lawn, in the grasses, go to all the different gardens along 3 mile drive. There's just all kinds of amazing things to do out there. There's mazes. It's just, you can spend a lot of time at the Arb. So
the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, yeah. Great place.
Go out there.
Texter says this, Teresa. From the spring flooding, we had a lawn that was underwater for over a month. It's now drying out. It's kind of sludgy mess. What do you suggest?
I would let it dry out as much as possible. Think about next year, if we get the same setup, are you going to get the same problem again? What can you do to alleviate that problem? Can you redirect water? Can you figure something out? Can you raise the level of the lawn? Probably we'll have to reseed in the fall at the end of August into the mid-September. Mid to August to mid-September, you can go ahead and reseed or lay sod on that lawn. But you want to think, how can you avoid this in the future? That would be my first thought. Can I redirect water? Can I build up the level? What can I do so this never happens again unless we get a terrible flood? Think about that first and then think about how you're going to reseed or resod in the fall.
Okay. This texter has a young 25-foot sugar maple. Many of the leaves on two of the north limbs have suddenly turned brown and dried up. Any ideas? It's a beautiful tree. Would hate to lose it.
I would look first of all at the base of the tree. Does the tree look like a pencil or like a telephone pole going into the ground? Or does it have a nice root flare where the tree starts to get bigger as it goes into the ground? You want to see that root flare. Maple trees are very susceptible to girdling roots. Sometimes they are planted too deep. And one of the roots heads back again and starts to strangle the tree underground. And that can cause pressure and die back up top. We do get also maple dieback. That just happens, and nobody's figured out why yet. I would probably, in this case, it sounds like it's going to be a good tree in your landscape, consider bringing in a certified arborist. We have a lot of them in Minnesota to look at the tree on site, and they can look at some diagnosis. It could be that those branches broke and you didn't realize it. In that case, you want to get them out of there. It could be the girdling roots. It could be maple dieback. That person could give you a better on-site diagnosis. Good luck with your maple. Mm-hmm.
Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Barb calling in from Lino Lakes this morning. Hi, Barb. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi. I have a tomato plant. They've been doing great, and now all of a sudden the bottom of the leaves are starting to turn brown. I just didn't know what to do for them.
Barb, thanks for your question. We're starting to see some leaf problems now on our tomato plants. It could be many, many things. So I would suggest, first of all, that you take a really careful look at what kind of spots and what you're seeing on the leaves. First of all, remove those. And when you're done and you have to remove them from the next plant, if you're using a pruners, make sure you sterilize your pruners between plants, or you wash your hands maybe with an alcohol wipe or something between plants. So if one has a disease, you're not going to share it with the next one. Clean all that up. But look at those spots. There's a lot of information on our extension website. If it's a bacterial spot, it'll be a brown spot with a yellow halo. If it's septoria, it'll be tan in the middle of the spots. There's all different kinds. If it's blights, there'll be spots. They look like a target. So there's different things you can look at the spots themselves, and that will tell you kind of what the disease is. Of course, you could send a sample to the plant clinic. It runs about $50. You probably don't need to make that step. Remove those spots, those leaves, and throw them into the city compost. That's your best bet. Anything that you want to spray on it is just going to be, any fungicide would just be catching up and it won't prevent it. So you just want to clean up those leaves as much as possible. Figure out what it has and then look at the extension website. It'll give you some ideas whether you're putting down mulch next year, whether you're pruning a little bit higher. There's all different ways we can avoid a lot of these leaf spots and these problems that we have with our tomatoes. Good luck, Barb.
Right. Tell you what, Teresa, before we take a quick break, let's grab one more phone call. Mitch calling in from Menominee, I believe, this morning. Good morning, Mitch. What is your question?
Morning. I got a question. My bleeding hearts, they're pretty much all yellow and turning brown. Is it going to do any damage if I just cut them back to the ground?
Nope. Go ahead. You said Mitch, right? Once they start to yellow up, you can go ahead and cut them back to the ground. They finish photosynthesizing. If they're still green, leave them up as long as you can. But once they start to yellow, they'll cut them back to the ground. They finish photosynthesizing. If they're still green, leave them up as long as you can. But once they start to yellow, those leaves are starting to die. So you can go ahead and cut it back. That's the old-fashioned bleeding heart. That's how it normally responds to the heat of summer. That's a good idea.
All right. Very good. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder that coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be with us on our Home Improvement Show. Any kind of a home improvement question you might have in mind, we'd love to hear from you next hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions. Of course, Teresa, there are still many to answer. So let's see if we can't help out more people. Let's see, here we go. This listener says, I have a low-spreading forsythia variety that was planted 3 years ago. This year, the new stems have healthy green leaves, but the leaves on the older stems are a mix of withered, yellowish, white, powdery, and insect-damaged leaves. What is this?
The white powdery would be a powdery mildew, just the leaves were a little more susceptible to it because it's low to the ground. Insect damage, I am always happy to see insect damage for the most part because that means I have a healthy environment and there's critters there. So plants can withstand a lot of insect damage. If they're withering, you may want to look. There is a borer, B-O-R-E-R, a little critter that likes to lay its eggs, and then the little larva bore into the stem of the forsythia, way at the base of the trunk or the base near the soil, and then it starts to block the nutrients going up to the leaves, and then the photosynthesis coming down from the leaves. So check that out, and then just prune them as you need to. If the stem is dead, it's dead. It's not coming back. Understand that the leaves the wood that's growing this year will support the flowers for next year. So any pruning of live wood that you take out, you're taking out next year's flowers too.
Okay. This listener says this via text: overgrown lilac bushes. Can I cut them down and not kill them? I want to start over and make them more manageable and not taking over the entire side of the house.
Sure. Sure, there's some options there. You can do what's called renewal pruning, where you take out a third. You start with the biggest ones and take them out down to the ground. That way you still have some flowers for a few years till the new suckers come up and start to grow and they bloom on 2 or 3 year old wood. You can also cut down the entire plant down to the ground. That means you won't see flowers for 2 or 3 years, but that helps you manage the size of the plant. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look under renewal pruning.
Okay. This listener just found out our Ann Magnolia has magnolia scale. So sad. If we have to remove it, can we ever plant another magnolia in the same area, or must we put in something else?
Oh, magnolia scale. It's just the heartbreak. So many of us have lost our magnolias. You can plant another magnolia. Just understand it will probably get scale too. In that case, I would probably plant a very small variety, the smallest, and then treat it as you need to every year, whether you're going to use a systemic on it or whether you're going to hand treat it and take care of it that way. I believe the extension website has, or you can look on other websites, other EDU websites that have some information on magnolia scale. So I'd probably wait a year or two and see and then plant another magnolia, or go with something totally different and just say maybe sayonara for magnolias for a little while.
Okay. The listener says this: we picked up some free irises from a neighbor the beginning of June. They've been in water in a 5-gallon bucket ever since. Can we still plant these? And if so, what do we need to do to plant them?
Sure. I would get them out of the water and get them planted into the ground. That's where they're happier. Go ahead and plant them. If these are the big old-fashioned irises, they grow on what's called corms or like a rootstock, and you want the back or the top of that root to actually be at ground level. So when you plant them, the roots will go down and you'll actually be able to see the back of that root, that corm, on the top of the ground. So that's where you want to plant it. Irises also do what they say as walk, which means they grow in a certain way. So you'll have the mother rhizome, and then you'll see there's one side or one end of the rhizome where the daughters start to grow. That's the way the plant will continue to multiply. So when you put in the rhizomes into the soil, the roots into the soil, make sure they're all like pointing away from each other or all the same direction, not pointing at each other, because then they'll have to be divided more quickly. You want them to have a lot of space. So go ahead and plant them now, and they should be fine. If they have leaves on them at this time, when you plant them in the soil, you'll probably need to cut those leaves back, say, to 6 inches, because they'll be top heavy and they'll pull them out themselves out of the soil. So at that time, then you would want to cut the leaves back so they don't pull them out of the soil. Good luck with
okay.
those.
Okay, very good. Interesting lawn question. Do you mulch or bag lawn clippings when trying to cure a lawn with fungus problems?
That's a really good question. You could mulch them, and that will keep the fungus spores there, but it will also feed the plants. If you're treating it or whatever, you may want to bag for two or three mowings so you can kind of clear some of that fungus out of there. Think about how you're watering it, too. Can you not water in the evenings and only maybe do your irrigation in the morning so the plants can dry out, and see if you can prevent some of that circulation to increase. See how you can make it a healthier lawn for the future. So can you increase air circulation? What can you do to prevent this in the future? It could just be because of all the rain and humidity we've got. That's just what you're dealing with. So in that case, go ahead and bag them. Send that to the city compost. Or if you have a hot compost, you can put it in your hot compost.
Okay. Via text, this listener says this, Teresa: I have many flowers on my cucumber plant, but no cucumbers. What can I do to attract pollination?
Well, there's two kinds of flowers on your cucumbers. They're just kind of like squashes. There's male and female. And sometimes if you don't have enough pollinators around, you may not, if you're not seeing bees visiting or flies or wasps visiting your flowers, you may need to take those flowers and find a male plant and pick one and start smooshing it onto the other ones, onto the female plants. You act as the pollinator yourself. Think about, what are you doing so there's no pollinators in that area? What can you do to increase the attractiveness of your ecosystem for pollinators? And understand, too, that in really super hot weather, plants sometimes will abort the flowers. Even if they do get pollinated, they just can't handle the extra stress of starting to grow a cucumber or a squash or a tomato at the time. So everything gets aborted. And then when the weather mellows out a little bit, the plant can restart again. It just has to make it through the tough times.
Okay. A couple of minutes to go on the show, Teresa. Here is another text. My tomato plants, the leaves have turned brown underneath. I don't understand why that's happening. You have any suggestions?
Yep, there's a lot of tomato diseases out there. So just take off the brown leaves. Look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Figure out what kind of leaf spots you're seeing and why the leaves are doing that. You need some air circulation under there. And then remember, next year, when you plant your tomato plants, try to put a mulch, a barrier between the soil and the air under the tomato plants, so that any diseases in the soil don't get splashed up by watering or rain onto the lower leaves. Then it rains and you water again, and those infected leaves then splash up onto the higher leaves above them, and that's how the disease works its way up through the plant. So there's a lot of hygiene we can use in the garden and preventative measures to minimize some of the diseases and the blights that we see in our tomato plants.
Okay. Let's see. My orchid grow a new spike for the flowers to bloom on? I can't seem to find the answer online, texter says.
Sure. It's probably a Phalaenopsis or moth orchid. They're really fairly easy to grow. They bloom about one time a year, and yes, it will grow a new leaf spike, a new flower stalk again. It just will take a year for it to get to grow that way. You can also go to the Florida Extension website. They have lots of great information on orchids, because orchids grow like weeds down there. Poor them.
Yeah. That's true.
But they have alligators and big snakes and everything else, too.
All sorts of critters. Somebody once told me, Florida is America's basement.
And it's hot and muggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me, no.
I'm sure it's
very nice for the people that live
there. Oh, I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. We've got exactly a minute to go, Teresa. Maybe we could mention once again the university's website and to get to the Arboretum. But let's do both here.
Sure. Definitely visit the Arboretum, gem of Minnesota, and go out there as quickly as you can and as often as you can. And also remember, you got to get a ticket first. On the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, you can also contact Master Gardeners on that website. Ask a Master Gardener and look around your community, because Master Gardeners are out there just waiting for you to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Of them.
Perfect. And let's ask you more questions next week when you're on the show.
That sounds wonderful. I'll talk to you all then.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thanks.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, yes, you'll be back next Saturday answering your questions. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. He'll be coming along right after the 9 o'clock news break. And just a reminder, tomorrow morning at our health show, we'll be chatting with a director of the Kidney Transplant Program, talking about your kidneys. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock on News Talk 830 WCCO. On this Saturday morning, another edition of our Smart Garden Show, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. It's so wonderful to be with you.
Well, you as well. It's always fun, and it's, as you know, it's already getting busy with the questions. not surprising during the growing season. Just a reminder to our new listeners, as you know, Teresa, we do this show 52 weeks a year. It could be 10 below zero. We're still going to talk about gardening, lawns and gardens.
We
sure.
are, because that's the way we roll in Minnesota.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you are a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get busy real fast. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. Looking at my lawns, as we're waiting for more questions to come in, this is kind of the dormant time of the year for the lawn. It used to be nice and green, and with all the rain we had, but now it's looking kind of brown.
Yep, and that's totally normal. That's what our lawns normally do. We have cool season grasses for the most part in our lawn. That means they're like me. They like it when it's a little cooler. They don't like this hot weather. So what they do is they just kind of shut down for a little while, and they just sit there, and they're waiting out the heat and the droughts of summer. So it's wonderful if you can mow your grasses a little bit higher. That shades the roots, because the roots can actually die if the soil gets 85 degrees or warmer. So you want those leaves of those grasses to shade the roots and keep the soil a little cooler and a little moister, and they'll just sit there. And then once we hit the end of August into September, and we get some more rains, well, we're going to get rain this week, tomorrow hopefully, they'll start growing again. So it's nothing to worry about. So you don't want to be feeding them. You don't need to be doing anything else weird, like any weird cultivation out there. Probably not planting seeds. It's just too hot for the grass seed. And just kind of wait it out. So instead, go sit in your hammock, drink a nice tea or your adult beverage of choice, listen to the Olympics or watch them on your computers. Just enjoy summer, because this is Minnesota. Enjoy summer, people.
Yeah, it's hot, as will be today. 74 now, we're going for 90. We'll have a look at that forecast, as we always do, at the bottom of the hour. A listener says this, though, via text, Teresa. They planted jalapeno peppers for the first time. The peppers are about 6 inches long. How do you know when to pick them, and can they be left on the plant too long?
Actually, well, they could technically be left on the plant too long. They will start to turn red when they get more ripe. Usually we pick them when they're green. You can pick them whenever you want to, and I would probably start harvesting some of them. As with most of our plants, when you harvest the fruit, before it gets too super ripe, the plant says, oh, I better make some more. So then it produces more fruit. So you'll get more flowers and more fruit. Now, when it's really hot like this, don't be worried if your plants aren't, like your tomatoes and your peppers, aren't getting more flowers. It's just hot for them too, so they're kind of just sitting there for a little while. But go ahead and harvest them. Use them as you like. Sometimes they get a little hotter when the plant gets a little stressed. They get hotter and spicier. So it's just go ahead and harvest them when they're the size you want to use.
All right. Here's a plug for the Minnesota Water Garden Society Pond and Garden Shows today and tomorrow, Teresa. 9 to 5. If you want to check it out, mwgs.org.
Yes, I've been on that tour one time, and when I was much younger, and the water gardens were amazing. So if you like water gardens or water features, or want to learn about them and the plants in them and how to set them up and fish to put in them and how to take care of them in winter. Oh, the Water Garden Society knows it. So go on this tour, get some ideas for your own yard, because when you bring water in, you're bringing in motion and noise, and you'll bring in more birds, and you'll see all kinds of insects. And it's just amazing what else you can bring into your yard. And just the sound of water is so refreshing, in my opinion.
Today and tomorrow, 9 to 5. This texter says, help! My tomato plants are wilting. They look like they need water, but they don't. What's happening, and how do I fix it?
What could be happening is sometimes the tomato plants get a little too hot, and the leaves just kind of bend down. It could just be that they're just dealing with the heat. I would see, you know, do they look like they're still growing? Are the flowers still there? Have the flowers been aborted? I would also make sure that the stem hasn't been damaged at the bottom for some reason, if you were digging around or something like that. And if it's too wet, if you can do anything to alleviate it, because you don't want your tomatoes aren't normally grown hydroponically, so you want to grow them in soil. I'm sure my friend Larry could tell me how to grow tomatoes hydroponically. But for the most part, if those plants are in the soil can't be soaking wet. It can't be like a bog. So it could be that they're too wet, and you may want to maybe pull back some mulch and let that soil dry out just a little bit, if that's what you're running into, if you have a heavy soil. But I would first of all look and just see how the plants are looking other than that. Some tomatoes will also curl. The leaves will actually start to curl because of the heat, and they will never uncurl again. The plants will be okay, but the leaves just curl. It's called tomato leaf curl, and it just is a physiological thing from a hot sun or really hot temperatures.
Very good. Texter says this, Teresa: I planted 5 Killarney raspberry bushes last year and cut off flowers for the first year. This year I have no flowers. Soil test pH was 7.6, so added sulfur when planted, and a little this year. I've watered with the Miracle-Gro 3 times this year. Bushes are large and very healthy. Why no flowers and berries?
It could just be that that's what...
This year, bushes are large and very healthy. Why no flowers and berries?
It could just be that that's what the plant is going to do. I'm not sure if that one blooms toward the end of summer, or if that's a spring raspberry. I don't know that variety specifically, but I would back off on the fertilizing. If your plants are big and healthy, they're fine. Sometimes when we over fertilize plants, they can grow so many leaves, and they're so lush that they don't produce many flowers. I probably wouldn't fertilize anymore. Sounds like the plants are getting well. Could just be that they're just getting situated, and next year you'll see a good crop. They need to get big enough in their root system to actually be able to produce flowers too. So I would say be patient.
All right. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Gailey is calling in from Hammond this morning. Gailey, good morning. You're on with the Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. We have 3 apple trees that we planted within 20 feet of each other. All 3 of them are established. 2 of them are huge, beautiful fruits. The third one we've had for about 4 years. It was the first year it had bright green leaves, a lot of fruit, and over the last couple of years, it has had very few fruit, and it's yellow and green, kind of shriveled up leaves, late to leave out in the spring. Just wondering if that should be, there's a disease in it, and we should be cutting it out, cutting it down and putting something else in there, or if there's something we can do.
Gailey, thanks for your question. Apple trees, it depends on what variety it is. So we're seeing a lot of apple scab this year due to the really wet spring that we have, and we haven't seen that for a number of years because of the drought. So that could be part of the leaves that are yellow. The fact that the tree is not thriving, there's not going to be disease, so to speak, that's going to cause that. It's more like a situational kind of thing, or it was just a weak tree going in. I would double check, are the roots getting enough water or too much water? Is it getting the same amount of sun as the others? Is it hopefully a different variety? Hopefully you've got different varieties there so they can cross-pollinate. Then I would just look at the general health of the tree. It's up to you if you want to cut it down. You could also have a certified arborist look at it on site, and they might see something that I'm not seeing. As long as the tree is still leafing out, it's probably, hopefully, working through whatever the situation is. But it sounds like more of a site issue than an actual disease for failing to thrive. It doesn't sound like it have fire blight or anything like that, which can take out a tree in a week or so. Probably a certified arborist, or just say, hey, I'm going to cut my losses here. I'm going to go get another apple tree, or I'm happy with the two that I have because they're cross-pollinating just fine, and maybe I'm going to put a cherry tree in this spot instead and see how that works. Those would be my suggestions, and good luck, Gailey.
All right, very good. Teresa, we need to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in either by text or phone call. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as we head to 90 degrees and a breezy day, CCO temperature reading 74. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. I know, Teresa, we're going to grab some phone calls and text messages, but you wanted to give a thanks before we do that.
I did. We had our Hennepin County Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour on July 13th, and I am thanking all of the people who came out to support us, and I'm thanking all the WCCO listeners who stopped by the garden I was at and talked to me and said they listened to the program and they love the program, and I'm just so thankful that you all were there. It was nice meeting all of you, and it was a great success for our group, and we really appreciate everybody who supported us. So thank you.
Good. Yeah, excellent. All right, let's see. Who is next? Tom is calling in this morning, I believe, from Lake Elmo. Hi, Tom. What's your question for Teresa?
Okay, we are fortunate. We have about 20 large mature oak trees in our yard. Unfortunately, they're driving my wife crazy because they drop so many acorns. The acorns are okay, but then what ends up is little oak trees start growing. And her question is, can she just pull up the part that comes up above the ground, or does she need to dig out the roots of every little oak tree that gets started?
Tom, that's an excellent question, and I'm jealous of the richness of your environment there. Congratulations on those oaks. So what you can do is you can actually just snip those off at ground level, or just pull up what you've got, what you see. The bigger, the more established they are, the bigger the root system, so they could come back if they're really much bigger. But if they're just teeny tiny seedlings, you can easily pull them up from the mulch, or you can even just snip them off at ground level if you want to get out there with your pruners for half an hour and go snip, snip, snip. That will take care of most of them. You would be amazed if you have trees and a lawn. If you didn't mow your lawn, within a few years, you would have a forest. As you mow your lawn, you're actually cutting a lot of tree seedlings out there that you don't even realize you're cutting. So that way, that in respect is what your wife could do. She could either just snip them off, run over them with the lawnmower, or she can just pull them. So she doesn't have to dig them out.
All right, good. Texter says this, Teresa, our purple coneflowers have green high tops on them and are not producing much for petals. Any clue what's going on and what to do about it?
Yes, I would go to the extension site that we haven't mentioned yet, extension.umn.edu. And what you're looking at probably is aster yellows. And that is a disease that gets into the plants. It's moved from one plant to another by little leaf hoppers. they get their feet with the infection on their feet because they were on another plant that had the infection. Then they jump on your plant, and now your plant's infected. There's nothing you can do to treat it. You need to dig up the plant and remove it, and then put it in a plastic bag and throw it in the trash or burn it. You do not send it to the city compost. You do not compost it yourself. I don't believe the disease can be killed with even the high heat compost, so you need to just destroy the plants. You want to get that out of there because it will continue to spread throughout other plants, and there are a number of plants and weeds, weeds are plants, that can be infected by aster yellows, and so you want to get it out of there as quickly as possible. But Google aster yellows, and that's probably what you're seeing there, and I'm sorry for that.
All right. Texter says this, Teresa, my Russian sage on the east side of the garage is very floppy. Can I cut it back, and will it rebloom?
It may not rebloom much for you this year. You can cut it back. With all of the water that we've gotten this year, the plants are just kind of a little, think of them as getting too fat. They're not healthy, skinny, little strong little marathon runners there. They're more like couch potatoes like me. So what you want to do is make sure you're not feeding them. They like full light. That could be part of the reason for the floppiness and all the extra water. And or if you have a really rich soil and you're fertilizing, that can impact it too. So you can cut them back. I would probably, though, just perhaps get 4 or 5 bamboo stakes, put them around it, and then just do like a spider web of string between those stakes so that kind of can hold up the plant a little bit, give it some support, maybe 2 feet off of the ground or 2.5 feet off of the ground. If you cut it back, it may not flower that much this year for you.
Okay. We're going to break for weather in a moment, but I want to pass along this text. My cucumbers, texter says, never really did anything this year. Is it too wet? And can I replant now?
You could try replanting your cucumbers if they've gone and the plants have totally gone by. They could have gotten a little too wet, and we haven't had a lot of bright sun either. That kind of can impact the cukes also. But I would plant them sooner rather than later, and then just watch them when we get those cold days in the fall because they are more susceptible. They're very susceptible to frosts.
Okay, very good. Let us take this break for that hot forecast, and we have more show to come, more Smart Garden. So stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions. Teresa, you just told me that you will be joining us again next Saturday morning, right?
I will be. Two Saturdays in a row.
We like that. Excellent. If you want to call in or text in, either way, your lawn and garden question this morning for Teresa, here's the number, 651-461-9226. After we hear from Tom and Spicer, let's talk a little bit about the Arboretum, but let's grab a phone call. Tom is calling in from Spicer, where it's nicer. Hi, Tom. What's your question, please?
Hi. Yes, I have a metal fencing surrounding my swimming pool, and it's needing to be painted. The problem I'm running into is I have grapevine on a good portion of the fence, and it produces grapes every year that I make grape juice and jams and stuff out of that. I'm wondering, how can I cut that down or back, or what do I need to do so I can paint the fence underneath it?
Tom, that's a good question, and I'm jealous. I would look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. I think the best time for the heavy pruning on grapes, which would probably be the easiest thing for you to do, would be in the springtime. So maybe that's something you can put off till early spring next year. So double check when to prune your grapes. I believe it is the springtime, however, and that will cut them way back. You may see a little less production next year, but they should rebound quite quickly for you. Good luck with that.
I tell you what, let's grab another phone call, and then we'll talk about the Arboretum. I think George is on the horn. They're calling in from St. Cloud this morning. Hi, George. What is your question, please?
Yeah, say, my brother lives in St. Cloud, and his lilacs seem like their leaves are drying up. He's got lilacs along the road. The side by the road looks green, but the side by the lawn, the leaves are drying up. And also, we have a guy in the cities, his lilac leaves are all drying up also. Is there a problem with lilacs this year?
I'm just looking at a text, George and Teresa. The next text is about that same thing.
It's, yep. So we're seeing a lot of this year again. It's a bacterial lilac disease, and it's just causing the lilac leaves to get black and then fall off. The Extension website, extension.umn.edu, has some good information on it. It probably will not kill your lilacs. They will get look really awful, though. It's because of our wet weather. So what you want to do is just do a really good cleanup. Whenever you get those leaves on the ground, rake them up, send them to the city compost. If you have a hot compost, you can put them in that. Otherwise, you can just destroy the leaves, burn them in a fire or something. The plants will probably recover. There's not a lot more you can do. Some websites in other states talk about cutting plants back, but I don't believe the Extension website suggests that. As long as the plant is not dead, it should recover towards the end of this year and next year. Just make sure you're not over-fertilizing the plant. You're not doing heavy pruning on the plant. You want to kind of baby that plant. It's sick right now. So it's that bacterial foliage disease, foliar disease. Good luck with that. It's a leaf disease.
Teresa, we always like to mention the Arboretum, and it's such a great resource, a fun place to visit. What's going on? Everything as usual, I suppose.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. First of all, the Arboretum will be closed early on the 31st, I believe, so double-check before you go out there. But you have to check anyway because you have to purchase your tickets up to 1 month in advance, and so you do have to do that. But there's lilies and daylilies blooming now. The hydrangeas are beautiful. Actually, if you're looking into hydrangeas, the Arboretum actually has a test garden for hydrangeas. They planted hydrangeas, gave them a good drink of water, and then walked away and said, "You're on your own now, baby." And so it gives them a really good test how strong they are, how they survive our Minnesota weather without a lot of extra care. And you can see them in their full glory and choose your hydrangeas that you're looking for. The phlox are beautiful. There's, of course, a great sculptures at the garden to look at. There's Glencoe ceramics are out there, so you can look at ceramics. I personally have a soft spot for ceramics. There's all kinds of classes. And today there's even a potato dig out at the farm at the Arb. So there's all kinds of things going on. There's the bee area. So there's just so much to see at the Arboretum. Go to their website, get your tickets, go out there and visit. Bring your friends that are visiting. They'll want to move to Minnesota so they can go to the Arboretum more often. It's just a gem for us, and it's just amazing what's going on out there. You can look at trees in the middle of summer and see how big they get, what they look like full grown. Can get ideas for landscaping. You can even just go out there and just connect with nature, walk the different trails, drive 3 mile drive, go sit out in the lawn, in the grasses, go to all the different gardens along 3 mile drive. There's just all kinds of amazing things to do out there. There's mazes. It's just, you can spend a lot of time at the Arb. So
the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, yeah. Great place.
Go out there.
Texter says this, Teresa. From the spring flooding, we had a lawn that was underwater for over a month. It's now drying out. It's kind of sludgy mess. What do you suggest?
I would let it dry out as much as possible. Think about next year, if we get the same setup, are you going to get the same problem again? What can you do to alleviate that problem? Can you redirect water? Can you figure something out? Can you raise the level of the lawn? Probably we'll have to reseed in the fall at the end of August into the mid-September. Mid to August to mid-September, you can go ahead and reseed or lay sod on that lawn. But you want to think, how can you avoid this in the future? That would be my first thought. Can I redirect water? Can I build up the level? What can I do so this never happens again unless we get a terrible flood? Think about that first, and then think about how you're going to reseed or resod in the fall.
Okay. This texter has a young 25-foot sugar maple. Many of the leaves on two of the north limbs have suddenly turned brown and dried up. Any ideas? It's a beautiful tree. Would hate to lose it.
I would look, first of all, at the base of the tree. Does the tree look like a pencil or like a telephone pole going into the ground? Or does it have a nice root flare where the tree starts to get bigger as it goes into the ground? You want to see that root flare. Maple trees are very susceptible to girdling roots. Sometimes they are planted too deep, and one of the roots heads back again and starts to strangle the tree underground, and that can cause pressure and die back up top. We do get also maple dieback that just happens, and nobody's figured out why yet. I would probably, in this case, it sounds like it's going to be a good tree in your landscape. Consider bringing in a certified arborist. We have a lot of them in Minnesota to look at the tree on site, and they can look at some diagnosis. It could be that those branches broke and you didn't realize it. In that case, you want to get them out of there. It could be the girdling roots. It could be maple dieback. That person could give you a better on-site diagnosis. Good luck with your maple.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, let's grab a phone call. Barb calling in from Lino Lakes this morning. Hi, Barb. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi. I have tomato plants. They've been doing great, and now all of a sudden the bottom of the leaves are starting to turn brown.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know what to do for them.
Barb, thanks for your question. We're starting to see some leaf problems now on our tomato plants. It could be many, many things. So I would suggest, first of all, that you take a really careful look at what kind of spots and what you're seeing on the leaves. First of all, remove those. And when you're done and you have to remove them from the next plant, if you're using a pruners, make sure you sterilize your pruners between plants, or you wash your hands maybe with an alcohol wipe or something between plants. So if one has a disease, you're not going to share it with the next one. Clean all that up. But look at those spots. There's a lot of information on our extension website. If it's a bacterial spot, it'll be a brown spot with a yellow halo. If it's septoria, it'll be tan in the middle of the spots. There's all different kinds. If it's blights, there'll be spots. They look like a target. So there's different things you can look at the spots themselves, and that will tell you kind of what the disease is. Of course, you could send a sample to the plant clinic. It runs about $50. You probably don't need to make that step. Remove those spots, those leaves, and throw them into the city compost. That's your best bet. Anything that you want to spray on it is just going to be, any fungicide would just be catching up and it won't prevent it. So you just want to clean up those leaves as much as possible. Figure out what it has and then look at the extension website. It'll give you some ideas whether you're putting down mulch next year, whether you're pruning a little bit higher. There's all different ways we can avoid a lot of these leaf spots and these problems that we have with our tomatoes. Good luck.
All right. Tell you what, Teresa, before we take a quick break, let's grab one more phone call. Mitch calling in from Menominee, I believe, this morning. Good morning, Mitch. What is your question?
Morning. I got a question. My bleeding hearts, they're pretty much all yellow and turning brown. Is it going to do any damage if I just cut them back to the ground?
Nope. Go ahead. You said Mitch, right? Once they start to yellow up, you can go ahead and cut them back to the ground. They finish photosynthesizing. If they're still green, leave them up as long as you can. But once they start to yellow, they'll cut them back to the ground. They finish photosynthesizing. If they're still green, leave them up as long as you can. But once they start to yellow, those leaves are starting to die, so you can go ahead and cut it back. That's the old-fashioned bleeding heart. That's how it normally responds to the heat of summer. That's a good idea.
All right. Very good. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder that coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be with us on our Home Improvement Show. Any kind of a home improvement question you might have in mind, we'd love to hear from you next hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions. Of course, Teresa, there are still many. to answer. So let's see if we can't help out more people. Let's see, where did we? Here we go. This listener says, I have a low-spreading forsythia variety that was planted 3 years ago. This year, the new stems have healthy green leaves, but the leaves on the older stems are a mix of withered, yellowish, white, powdery, and insect-damaged leaves. What is this?
The white powdery would be a powdery mildew, just the leaves were a little more susceptible to it because it's low to the ground. Insect damage, I am always happy to see insect damage for the most part because that means I have a healthy environment and there's critters there. So plants can withstand a lot of insect damage. If they're withering, you may want to look. There is a borer, B-O-R-E-R, a little critter that likes to lay its eggs and then the little larva bore into the stem of the forsythia way at the base of the trunk or the base near the soil, and then it starts to block the nutrients going up to the leaves and then the photosynthesis coming down from the leaves. So check that out, and then just prune them as you need to. If the stem is dead, it's dead. It's not coming back. Understand that the wood that's growing this year will support the flowers for next year. So any pruning of live wood that you take out, you're taking out next year's flowers too.
Okay. This listener says this via text, overgrown lilac bushes. Can I cut them down and not kill them? I want to start over and make them more manageable and not taking over the entire side of the house.
Sure. There's some options there. You can do what's called renewal pruning, where you take out a third. You start with the biggest ones and take them out down to the ground. That way you still have some flowers for a few years till the new suckers come up and start to grow and they bloom on 2 or 3 year old wood. You can also cut down the entire plant down to the ground. That means you won't see flowers for 2 or 3 years, but that helps you manage the size of the plant. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look under renewal pruning.
Okay. This listener just found out our Ann Magnolia has magnolia scales. So sad. If we have to remove it, can we ever plant another magnolia in the same area, or must we put in something else?
Oh, magnolia scale. It's just the heartbreak. So many of us have lost our magnolias. You can plant another magnolia. Just understand it will probably get scale too. In that case, I would probably plant a very small variety, the smallest, and then treat it as you need to every year, whether you're going to use a systemic on it or whether you're going to hand treat it and take care of it that way. I believe the extension website has, or you can look on other websites, other EDU websites that have some information on magnolia scale. So I'd probably wait a year or two and see and then plant another magnolia or go with something totally different and just say maybe sayonara for magnolias for a little while.
Okay. The listener says this, we picked up some free irises from a neighbor the beginning of June. They've been in water in a 5-gallon bucket ever since. Can we still plant these? And if so, what do we need to do to plant them?
Sure. I would get them out of the water and get them planted into the ground. That's where they're happier. Go ahead and plant them. If these are the big old-fashioned irises, they grow on what's called corms or like a rootstock, and you want the back or the top of that root to actually be at ground level. So when you plant them, the roots will go down, and you'll actually be able to see the back of that root, that corm, on the top of the ground. So that's where you want to plant it. Irises also do what they say as walk, which means they grow in a certain way. So you'll have the mother rhizome, and then you'll see there's one side or one end of the rhizome where the daughters start to grow. That's the way the plant will continue to multiply. So when you put in the rhizomes into the soil, the roots into the soil, make sure they're all like pointing away from each other or all the same direction, not pointing at each other, because then they'll have to be divided more quickly. You want them to have a lot of space. So go ahead and plant them now, and they should be fine. If they have leaves on them at this time, when you plant them in the soil, you'll probably need to cut those leaves back, say, to 6 inches, because they'll be top heavy and they'll pull them out themselves out of the soil. So at that time, then you would want to cut the leaves back so they don't pull them out of the soil. Good luck with those.
Okay, very good. Interesting lawn question. Do you mulch or bag lawn clippings when trying to cure a lawn with fungus problems?
That's a really good question. You could mulch them, and that will keep the fungus spores there, but it will also feed the plants. If you're treating it or whatever, you may want to bag for two or three mowings so you can kind of clear some of that fungus out of there. Think about how you're watering it, too. Can you not water in the evenings and only maybe do your irrigation in the morning so the plants can dry out, and see if you can prevent some of that circulation to increase. See how you can make it a healthier lawn for the future. So can you increase air circulation? What can you do to prevent this in the future? It could just be because of all the rain and humidity we've got. That's just what you're dealing with. So in that case, go ahead and bag them. Send that to the city compost. Or if you have a hot compost, you can put it in your hot compost.
Okay. Via text, this listener says this, Teresa. I have many flowers on my cucumber plant, but no cucumbers. What can I do to attract pollination?
Well, there's two kinds of flowers on your cucumbers. They're just kind of like squashes. There's male and female. And sometimes if you don't have enough pollinators around, you may not, if you're not seeing bees visiting or flies or wasps visiting your flowers, you may need to take those flowers and find a male plant and pick one and start smooshing it onto the other ones, onto the female plants. You act as the pollinator yourself. Think about what are you doing so there's no pollinators in that area. What can you do to increase the attractiveness of your ecosystem for pollinators? And understand, too, that in really super hot weather, plants sometimes will abort the flowers. Even if they do get pollinated, they just can't handle the extra stress of starting to grow a cucumber or a squash or a tomato at the time. So everything gets aborted. And then when the weather mellows out a little bit, the plant can restart again. It just has to make it through the tough times.
Okay. A couple of minutes to go on the show, Teresa. Here is another text. My tomato plants, the leaves have turned brown underneath. I don't understand why that's happening. You have any suggestions?
Yep, there's a lot of tomato diseases out there. So just take off the brown leaves. Look at the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Figure out what kind of leaf spots you're seeing and why the leaves are doing that. You need some air circulation under there. And then remember, next year, when you plant your tomato plants, try to put a mulch, a barrier between the soil and the air under the tomato plants so that any diseases in the soil don't get splashed up by watering or rain onto the lower leaves. Then it rains and you water again, and those infected leaves then splash up onto the higher leaves above them, and that's how the disease works its way up through the plant. So there's a lot of hygiene we can use in the garden and preventative measures to minimize some of the diseases and the blights that we see in our tomato plants.
Okay. Let's see. My orchid grow a new spike for the flowers to bloom on? I can't seem to find the answer online, texter says.
Sure. It's probably a phalaenopsis or moth orchid. They're really fairly easy to grow. They bloom about one time a year, and yes, it will grow a new leaf spike, a new flower stalk again. It just will take a year for it to get to grow that way. You can also go to the Florida Extension website. They have lots of great information on orchids because orchids grow like weeds down there. Poor them.
Yeah, that's true.
But they have alligators and big snakes and everything else, too.
All sorts of critters. Somebody once told me Florida is America's basement.
And it's hot and muggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me, no.
I'm sure
it's very nice for the people that live there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. We've got exactly a minute to go, Teresa. Maybe we could mention once again the university's website and to get to the Arboretum. But let's do both here.
Sure. Definitely visit the Arboretum, gem of Minnesota, and go out there as quickly as you can and as often as you can. And also remember, you got to get a ticket first. On the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, you can also contact Master Gardeners on that website, ask a Master Gardener, and look around your community because Master Gardeners are out there just waiting for you to ask questions
Absolutely.
Of them.
Perfect. And let's ask you more questions next week when you're on the show.
That sounds wonderful. I'll talk to you all then.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thanks.
Master Gardener Teresa Runa, yes, you'll be back next Saturday answering your questions. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. He'll be coming along right after the 9 o'clock news break. And just a reminder, tomorrow morning in our health show, we'll be chatting with a director of the Kidney Transplant Program talking about your kidneys. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock on News Talk 830 WCCO.